Ball on the right hash of the 7. Wilson takes the toss, running it left behind Juszczyk. Outside of the 5, breaks a tackle, fights his way to the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco.
And that was the delivery of the game brought to you by UPSJobs.com. Niners running back Jeff Wilson, 7-yard touchdown, his third of the game, to make it 30-6 San Francisco. As they went on to win this game 33-6 over New England. Now you can join Team UPS as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 or more per hour, plus bonuses in some locations and up to $25,000 for school. Apply now at UPSJobs.com/football. Shaw's Patriots postgame show, Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Greg, where do you want to start with this mess? The quarterback play, the defense? This is not a good football team right now.
No, it's not. And I think when you say that, to me, the first place I go is coaching. Everyone can complain all they want about Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham and the defense and this and that. But look, are the Patriots better than what they have shown the past couple games, including especially today? Yes. And that they're not playing better than this? I put it on the coaches. I mean, they have to figure – it's their job to figure out what this team can do well and to do it. And they were just thoroughly outclassed in just about every way today. I mean, I start with the defense. Yes, the offense was atrocious, and everybody cares about the offense more because it's shiny and the offense was inept. But the defense is really not any better at this point. I mean, they can't – The 49ers just completely toyed with the Patriots, and what you saw was an offensive mind in Kyle Shanahan, who looked at the Patriots probably in the offseason, but also so far this season, and had a complete plan to dismantle them from being on the outside to hitting them inside, throwing, running. There was nothing that the Patriots could do, and I mean that's where they spend a lot of their money is on defense. And it's sort of the same thing. If the Patriots, the strength of the Patriots team is their secondary, but if you can't get anything done on the first two downs to get to third down, to get to third and long, I mean, the 49ers only had 6 third downs through 3 quarters. I mean, that's pathetic. And the Patriots have to figure things out in terms of their defense on first and second down. And we all knew, look, we all knew it was going to be a challenge for this offense coming in this year for a variety of reasons, but that the defense isn't doing a better job to hold the fort and at least keep the door open for the offense to revive at some point. To me, that's where the biggest problem lies.
Well, I think that's just this week. I mean, last week they didn't give up a touchdown. You know, they did well against.
Yeah, but it was the Broncos and Drew Locke.
Yeah, but what? Is this Jimmy Garoppolo
and
the Patriots?
That team's awful.
Is this Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers who, I don't know, I mean, who do they have on their defense? Like, we can listen, today was the offense not playing well and not setting up the defense whatsoever. And, you know, to your coaching point, when you put, you know, 7 defensive backs out there, they're going to block you. Like, I believe that is on coaching as well. But getting back to what Bill Belichick said after the game, he said he's going with Cam Newton again. He sounds like he just doesn't believe in Jarrett Stidham. And one other thing he said.
Why should he?
At this point, like, does Cam look right? And then the second thing is he said they improved from a week ago. I don't see how they improved from a week ago at all.
Who said they improved?
Bill Belichick, after the game, said that his team improved this week. He said that in the press conference, yeah.
I mean, I would disagree with that. I mean, look, we all know that this was a much better team that they faced and a much better coaching staff. But, you know, just sticking with Cam, he looks fine to me physically. I don't see anything different about him. There were throws that he made that were fine. But this reminds me of, I think it was last year, and there's been certain times where even when Brady was here, they go out there with this sort of, especially in recent years, this grenade-type offense where – every 2 or 3 plays, they can't string any successful plays together. Like every 2 or 3 plays, there's a grenade going off. I mean, just look at Newton's first interception. It's basically a 2-man route because the third man going out is Jakob Johnson, the fullback, who isn't scaring anybody. So the play is designed to hit deep against the 49ers. And I think McDaniels correctly anticipated what the defense was going to be. It looked like a two deep sort of four under zone. And to hit the second level on that defense, you need time. So what did McDaniels do? He kept two players in the block, Damian Harris and Izzo. There was only a four-man rush, and it took about a second and a half for Cam Newton to be pressured in that circumstance, and that led to the interception. Not saying that, you know, it was a good decision or that Newton wasn't at fault. It was, but Newton's not supposed to feel any pressure on that play, and the Patriots can't even get that blocked up correctly. So I see grenades going off all over this team. I thought the offensive line sucked today. I thought the specialists stunk up the joint. I thought the quarterback stunk up the joint. I thought the defensive line didn't do much. The linebackers, we could start there in terms of personnel that Belichick planned coming into the season once Dante Hightower opted out was to go with Juwan Bentley, who is average at best, Brandon Copeland, who's a journeyman linebacker, and Anthony Jennings, who's a rookie who they obviously don't trust very much, and they can't hold up against anybody who comes and wants to run the ball against them. I mean, if the 49ers could do this, can you imagine what the Ravens are going to do in a couple weeks? I mean, they could rush for 400 yards in that game.
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, I'm with you. Like, you know, they can coach better too, but defensively in certain areas, specifically at linebacker, Greg, like they're not fast enough. The guys are just, they're jags. Like, and there was one specific play. I think it might have even been that first drive by the Niners that they scored on. Deebo Samuel, who they use, you know, at times is almost like a de facto running back with that little sideline to sideline passing game. Juwan Bentley looked like he had cement shoes on. Like, he wasn't even near him. And that's just where I feel like this is now catching up to them. Bad drafts, you know, personnel-wise in certain areas. They don't have guys that can – they're not fast. They're not talented. They don't have guys that, you know, could compete against a team like the Niners where you have speed at wide receiver in certain areas. They're just – they're not even going to be in on a play.
No, I mean, I completely agree with you. I think that, you know, I made fun of them early on in the season saying, like, you know, they're going with the Lollipop Guild on defense, and I just wondered when – that was going to catch up to them with all these, you know, safeties and cornerbacks on the field. I mean, that's fine and all when you're playing some of the teams that they did early on in the season, like, you know, and Seattle and even Vegas. But, you know, you go against these big physical teams that want to run the ball, that come in with the mentality to run the ball, and the Patriots just they can't hold up. And this is week after week. They can't get the third down. I mean, that's a measure of ineptitude on defense that, you know, you rarely see. But that's where the Patriots are right now.
All right. So now it begs the question, as we're a week away from the or about a week away from the NFL trade deadline, should they be buyers or sellers? We'll get Greg's answer on that. If you want to join us as well, 617-779-0985. That'll be coming up here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show next here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 of Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Two receivers right, wide side of the field, two left. Second and 10 from the 41. Newton on the shotgun snap. Pocket squeezes down, throws near side. Catch made by Jacoby Myers along the sideline. Shoved down by Mosley. Good grab by Jacoby on a throw to the 48 of San Francisco. First down for the Patriots.
Everybody likes to dog Myers because he doesn't separate, because he's not fast. At least he plays.
That's right, Zoe. Finally off the inactive list, Jacoby Myers with a first down there. Part of your first down recap. New England converting 17 first downs today. It's another $1,700 donated by Credit Union's Kids at Heart to the Team Jack Foundation to fight pediatric brain cancer and help researchers one day find a cure. More at creditunionskidsatheart.org. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, this is the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Is that also like a coaching second guess for you today in that Jacoby Myers, who actually was one of the bright spots, should he have been out there these last couple of weeks, Greg?
I mean, I'm not going to argue against that, but, you know, there's a reason why the Patriots went with Harry and Myers was kind of an afterthought. I mean, I think he proved today that the kid, you know, you may think he's small, you may think he's slight, that he might get killed out there. But, you know, the bottom line is the kid can play, he can catch the ball, and he needs to be on the field. I mean, look, everything's under assessment right now as far as the Patriots go, especially on offense where – and this goes for all sides of the ball, but the you know, the coaches need a sort of come to Jesus moment where they're just like, all right, what the hell can we do well to gain a few yards here and there, string together successful plays? And if that means playing Jacoby Myers, then play Jacoby Myers. If that means, all right, going shotgun spread with Cam Newton, you know, they got to do that. I mean, right now, all options are on the board. And sure, you can make the argument that Jacoby should have been playing more. But then again, you know, Bill Belichick has a first-round pick that he needs to prove the value of. So that always factors in the equation.
Hey, Greg, I have a list of guys that, you know, potentially could be moved for the Pats. I'll get to that in a second here, but we've been trying to figure out how to fix this or make things better. Should they receive the football at the beginning of games and not try to chase early on? Is that one step? And then you mentioned, you know, putting Myers on the football field. Like, what else can they do to move the football field, move the football if Cam Newton, who is going to be the quarterback next week? What else do you think they do to start games out better?
I'd be up for taking the ball first. I mean, but then again, you're giving the offense probably a short field because it's not like the Patriots are going to do anything with the ball. At least there's no indication of that. You know, again, Belichick has put most of his assets, his chips into the defense, and that's got to be the unit that does it. I think, you know, I'm starting with, all right, well, how can we get the third down? How can we get the opponent to third down? I'm starting there. And then offensively, all right, well, how are we going to string together successful plays? You know, what does that look like for us? Because it doesn't look like coming out with 21 personnel or some sort of larger personnel is really working all that well for the Patriots. So maybe do they come out and they go shotgun spread and then come back to the running game? You know, sure, that's possible. But that's – look, this is why – Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and some of the other coaches get paid a lot of money. I mean, this is what I have a very similar sort of opinion, or at least feeling, that I did coming out of that Chiefs blowout a few years ago, where, you know, I went on Felger and Mazin Tuesday and kind of like ranted and raved and saying like the Patriots are better than what they've shown. The Patriots might not be good, but they're better than, you know, 33-6 at home against the 49ers. So it's up to the coaches. They need to figure it out because this is not good enough. And the thing is I know you guys are talking about, and we'll talk more about it, about whether the Patriots should be sellers or buyers or whatnot. Look, it's a one-game season right now. Today sucked. They were embarrassed. They should be embarrassed. But the fact of the matter is that game didn't really mean anything. What matters is the Bills game. If they win that game, if they go into Buffalo, and look, I'm not saying – that they have shown any indication that they're going to do this. I'm not telling you that I believe that they're going to do this. I'm just stating a fact. If the Patriots go to Buffalo and win next week against a team that always chokes against them, no matter how poorly the Patriots play, the Buffalo still can't beat them. If the Patriots go there and win the game, the division is still very much in play. If they lose, you know, largely the season's over.
But because of COVID restrictions and the guys are going to have to quarantine, it does feel like this week is going to be more active rather than, you know, the Tuesday, the actual trade deadline day on November 3rd. So what do you think happens here this week? Would you be surprised if they tried to move Stephon Gilmore or someone else from this team?
No, nothing would surprise me. But I don't really factor in those, you know, COVID restrictions and whatnot. Because if a team is acquiring a player, like, you know, you're a contender and you're in good shape, and 1 week less of Stephon Gilmore or Joe Tooney or what have you isn't going to turn the tide. You're getting these players for the stretch run, and 1 week is not going to matter. And some teams might need another week to figure out where exactly they are. So I don't think that is as big a deal as some people are making out to be. But then again, you know, the only thing that matters is what Belichick thinks about after this game. If he thinks they're terrible and have no chance, then sure, he's going to unload people this week.
Julian Edelman looked frustrated on the sideline today. Snaps are down, obviously his numbers. The two targets he had today, both of them were interceptions. What do they do with Edelman, and would they ever consider moving on from him?
Sure. I mean, that's possible, but I don't know what you're going to get for him. I mean, why would anybody trade anything for him? If he's not getting targets here and he looks like he's running on one leg, why is anybody going to give you anything more than a conditional seventh round pick? And who knows, maybe the Patriots will take that at this point. I don't take his frustration any differently than other people's, and including, you know, Devin McCourty saying after the game that, you know, they're embarrassed and the Crafts aren't paying them to play this poorly. I think everybody's just frustrated, and they should be frustrated. And I think, you know, Julian is one of those players that when the coaches meet tomorrow and they figure out, all right, well, what's our plan going forward? How do we beat Buffalo in our one game season? They need to find a way to get Julian the ball. They need to, if he's going to play, if he's going to be part of the team, then get him touches or sit him down, ship him out, and play Gunnar Olszewski or whoever. But if Julian, you're putting him out there, and yes, his snaps are down, but he's still out there a good majority of the time, to get him the ball, because one proven thing in this offense is Julian Edelman knows how to get open and to move the chains, and the Patriots aren't doing either of those things right now.
All right, your calls for Greg Bedard. You want to talk about this loss to the Niners today. 33-6 is the final. Greg putting a positive spin on it a little bit, which I kind of like. You know, it wasn't that big in the grand scheme of things. It's next week you really got to worry about at Buffalo against the Bills. We'll get to your calls coming up here with Greg. First, though, we'll get the latest with the night game and the latest in the World Series here in the Sports Hub headlines with Joe Murray. But first, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 of Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
From the 38, shotgun snap to Newton. Four-man rush. Throw out to the left, incomplete.
I'm ready.
Skipped it in the direction of Demir Byrd on the far side. You had Burkett in the middle of the field as well for the Patriots, and New England is forced to punt it back to San Francisco.
Get Stidham ready. Get him throwing. You got to do something, Bill. He ain't got it. He ain't got it today. He's not seeing it right. He's throwing balls in the ground. He's got time to throw. You got to make the switch.
And Bill Belichick eventually did. But Cam Newton, not a good day for him. The Patriots offense as a whole, they had 15 catches for the Patriots today. Bay Coast Bank partnering again with New England wide receiver N'Keal Harry for Catches for College to highlight Bay Coast Bank's commitment to making education their number one priority. Bay Coast Bank donating $50 for every New England catch all season to create a college scholarship fund to help children in their community offset the high costs of college education. So 15 catches today, that's $750. New England's offense has now help donate $5,800. Bay Coast Bank has donated $5,800 to create college scholarships in their community. So that's now 116 catches on the year for the Pats. So you heard Zoe there, Greg Bedard. It is the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal joining us. He called for Stidham. Stidham eventually came in. He didn't look all that great. So they are right to stick with Cam Newton going forward. This isn't an injury thing. You think that the mechanics might be off a little bit, but you don't think that he's hurt. That shoulder's fine?
Yeah, I think he's fine. And I don't really buy into – I think there's a narrative has started that since his COVID stint that Cam's been worse. That's discounting that he played terrible against the Raiders
right,
as well when they won that game before that. So this is really three starts in a row. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary from Cam, from, you know, watching him in camp to, you know, the season up until now. I just see a quarterback who he really doesn't have the first clue right now on where to go with the ball. He doesn't have any confidence in his protection. He doesn't have any confidence about his reads, and that factors into the coaching aspect of this, is that Josh McDaniels and Jed Fish have to figure out, all right, well, how do we get Cam on track? Because I mean, all quarterbacks go through this. Certainly you wouldn't like to see it this early, but and it doesn't happen all that often. For Brady, it didn't happen all that often, but it did happen. And you need to try your best to figure out a way to, A, get them confidence, and B, to slowly expand the offense to where you can start executing multiple plays going forward. I just think I look at an offense looking down from the press box today. I saw an offense that doesn't really know what they can do well, and when McDaniels does have a play well called, especially, you know, looking at last week where Newton's just not executing, or, you know, you have a, you know, somebody fumbles the ball, or, you know, there's bad protection. And it's just, like I said, it's a grenade offense right now, and they need to figure out how to put the pin back in and start stacking successful plays.
Hey, Greg, looking ahead to the Bills, they gave up 100 yards on the ground today to the Jets, 99 to be exact. But is that the game plan heading into it? Attack that, attack them with the run? And you mentioned you didn't think the offensive line was great today. Was it David Andrew? What didn't you like in the offensive line today?
It's hard to tell, and I don't mean to sound like a coach and say, like, you know, I need to watch the film, but as soon as we're done, I am going to go back and watch the TV copy of the game and try to figure out, all right, well, what's working and what's not working. You know, as far as the Bills go, I think their entire defense is pretty much a mess at this point. And so if there was any week for the Patriots offense to start taking baby steps, it would be this week. And you know, like I said before, it's a one-game season now. Three and four would look a lot different than 2-5. 2-5 with the Bills going to 6-2, pretty much the division's over. And I think that's the only way to the playoffs. But if the Patriots can somehow find a way to win this game, then things will look a lot different. And I know it doesn't feel very good right now, and I know there's no optimism for that. I understand that. But that's just a fact that they can – everything is still in front of them, but I think they need to – they need to figure out how they can come out and string together an opening scoring drive. And I think that might mean they put a lot of condensed formations, a lot of heavy personnel on film. I think it's time to flip the script and go light, go spread, go possibly no huddle on the opening drive, just to see if they can catch lightning in a bottle, gain some confidence, go from there, get a stop. I mean, that's sort of the formula for their team. What they've done so far and the way they've gone about things is just so not the formula for this team.
Jake in Chicago, you're next up here on the Shaw's Patriots post-game show with Greg Bedard. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, guys. First time. Long time, obviously. First off, I hate to agree, but I'm with Felger in the sense, like, I honestly think Teddy Bridgewater could literally take this team to 10-6, maybe even 11-5. But that's not what I want to get into. I want to talk about the defense. 2nd and 3 was absolutely automatic for the 49ers. And Bedard, maybe look into it for a Tuesday segment. But how many times has our defense, in terms of the Pats, actually stopped them on 3 downs without a penalty, without, like, a turnover? Like, how many times have we gone 3 downs and then the punt? Thanks, guys. Big fan. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Jake. Yeah, who was...
Yeah, not very often.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, and Jake's right. I mean, that has been a problem there. I know at one point, I haven't looked recently, but I will try. I know that their first down defense was among the worst in the league about 3 games into the season. I assume it's even worse now. And you just can't play defense that way, especially when your whole defense is predicated on getting the quarterback to throw into the teeth of your secondary with, you know, the pressures that they can scheme up, which I thought they did a good job of early with those little stunts and twists. I thought, you know, they knew the way to pressure Garoppolo up the middle, flash in front of him, get him sped up. And I think that led to the interception, which was a total Jimmy G type interception where he gets panicky in the pocket and he just gets rid of it because he doesn't want to get hit, because he's not all that tough, despite what Belichick said all week this week. And they just couldn't get to those plays enough. And I think that's where they need to start on defense. And it's not with – I'm sorry, I like Adrian Phillips in a lot of circumstances, not as a linebacker. Like, they need to figure out their personnel that they can get them to 2nd and 8, 2nd and 7, instead of 2nd and 3.
Tom and Quincy, you're next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Go ahead, Tom.
How you doing, Mark?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, listen, they get a pretty good defense, and they get a pretty decent offense. They should be buying and selling. I'm telling you, I know exactly. But Dad was partially right. But I'll tell you what, These are the worst coaches we ever got. Bill Belichick is the biggest fraud. And that other one, not Bill Belichick, Mo Belichick and Larry McDaniels, two frauds. Listen, this guy, Cam is a borderline Hall of Famer, and they don't know how to handle him. They don't know how to call plays. Tom Brady is taking Bill Belichick to the Hall of Fame, and he doesn't deserve it. It was Tom Brady. It was nobody else.
Well, you have to give credit to both. But over the last couple of weeks,
yeesh.
It's been a couple of wins for Tom and not so much for Bill Belichick just over the last couple of weeks. Is the nepotism thing starting to be an issue here? Is that part of the coaching issue? Is Steve Belichick in over his head, Greg?
It's a valid question. I mean, I don't know how it's working this year, but I can tell you, like last year, the way it worked was Bill Belichick, he is heavily involved with the defense. He's heavily involved in the game planning. He would basically every week he would put together basically a paint by number play sheet for the defense that's basically like, all right, in this situation we're going to run this defense, and that's what Steve was tasked with running. Now I don't know if they graduated to Steve being more involved in the game planning or not, but whatever's going on, it's not looking good. And yes, you can certainly point to the opt-outs and free agency and things like that. And I do think that the Patriots' decisions as far as personnel, especially at linebacker, once Hightower opted out, they're challenging. I mean, Juwan Bentley is an average player, and he's your starting Mike. Anthony Jennings, I think, is promising, but he's very young, and I could see them coaching him up. It looked like they had there were a lot of issues with his play and some of his decision making in this game. And Brandon Copeland is just a guy. I mean, he was a backup for the Jets and mostly a special teamer, and now he's being tasked with starting against a very physical and very complex 49ers defense. And look, I think Copeland is extremely smart and he's very capable, but he's really a fill in. And right now he's in a major role, and I think there are a lot of personnel deficiencies on the defense, and it's getting exploited by the better teams.
It was a good day for your boy Lawrence Guy, though. He had a good game, but other than that, yeah.
They trade him?
I almost fainted when he was down on the ground.
Yeah, would they trade him last year of his deal? I believe. I know he's your best defensive lineman, but maybe worth something, right?
Yeah, you know, Murray, I can see that I think you want to sell everything that's not bolted down at one Patriot place, which I understand. I understand the frustration. And look, if on the Patriots right now, I'm listening on everything. Do I think they're championship level? No. Do I think that this season is more wide open than a lot of people think? Yes. You know, that the Buccaneers are somehow viewed as a Super Bowl contender, I think is kind of a joke, because I think their offensive line stinks and I think their defense is a little bit overrated. But I think a lot of things are wide open. I mean, who in the AFC other than the Chiefs are really world beaters? I mean, you know, I think the Patriots, if they can find some success offensively, we'll be able to find a way to be competitive with the Ravens. But look, that's way down the road. I know there's a certain level of excellence around here. And when people see things that look counter to that, they panic. And especially you young people, Murray, who don't remember what it's like.
Young?
Yeah, you're pretty young.
To me, though, this team, yeah, you might be right. Next week they win and maybe they're back in it, but
yeah,
it doesn't look good as of right now. It's a tough loss today. Tough loss.
We have one more segment to go with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. You're going to want to get on with him. 617-779-0985. We'll get to that coming up next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, the Safety Insurance 98.5 of Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
Second and one, handoff to Damien, runs through a big hole right side, speeds across the 40, past the 45. He's upended at the 47-yard line.
Nice run
by Damien Harris.
And that's what he does. Yeah, they talked about, you know, getting him going, getting him reps, getting him going downhill, and then you don't see him for two quarters. It's tough on those guys, those running backs, to develop any sort of continuity. As Newton just walks around, just has no clue what play's being called.
Time for the New England forward rushing update. Damian Harris leading New England on the ground today in the 33-6 loss to the Niners. 58 yards on the ground as a team. New England rushed for 94 yards. Again, that's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers, where Ford Truck Month is in full swing with great deals on F-150, Super Duty, and Ranger. Hurry in for the best selection at your New England Ford dealers. Shaw's Patriots post-game show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray. One more segment with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. So you heard what Zoe was saying there with Damian Harris, Greg, and I thought the same thing last week. I thought he was the best running back for the Patriots, but then they went away from him early. Is that one of the things you'd maybe like to see the Patriots coaches change going forward, and you know, especially with the offense? With Damian Harris, should he be the feature back more often than not?
Sure, and I think the Patriots would like to get him more touches and like to make him more of a central figure, but you know, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed for that to happen. I think they need to figure out, like we were talking about earlier, just a better approach. I mean, how are they going to come out so that they can get to Damian Harris and get the, is it to come out and, you know, run the first two downs and do what they did today? And that doesn't seem like it's working for them. So maybe you come out, go a little bit more gun run type of stuff early, get them spread out, more horizontal plays, get them going sideline to sideline, then hit them more inside with Harris. But I totally agree. I thought he was very effective today when given an opportunity, when the blocking was good. The Patriots just got to figure out how to, you know, stop shooting themselves in the foot every three plays, and maybe they can have a sustained running game.
Hey, Greg, you mentioned the Chiefs are still the front runners here in the AFC. Do you happen a chance to watch the Steelers and Titans today and Gostkowski missing the field goal at the end there? I mean, the Steelers kind of gave the game away, and Tannehill and Vrabel, nice comeback for them, even though they lost.
I saw the first half, so I didn't, and then I had to get ready to go to the stadium, so I did not see the rest of it. I did see the score, and I heard about Gostkowski. You know, to me, the biggest problem was for that game was the way the Steelers handled the end of the first half when they had. When they got the punt screw up by the Titans and they got the ball, I don't know, like on the 35 or the 40, there was a penalty, but they just needed a few more yards to kick a field goal and really sort of put the foot on the throat of the Titans, and they just threw a Hail Mary into the end zone for whatever reason. They left points on the board there, and I was wondering if that was going to come back and haunt them, and it almost did. But look, you're talking about a Titans team that, you know, yes, they're good, and when things are going well, when Derrick Henry is running the ball well, when Arthur Smith is scheming things up for Tannehill, it looks really good. But that Titans defense is really bad, and I think you're looking at an AFC field where everybody's just about flawed. I mean, look, we're looking at a Patriots team who, with Brian Hoyer, if Brian Hoyer makes a couple plays, the Patriots beat the Chiefs on their own home field. So, to me, this AFC is wide open, and why I'm not totally panicking and ready to sell everything that's not bolted down at one Patriot place.
You know, Greg, Joe said it earlier, and I was thinking about it. I think he's right. Outside of, you know, take away the red zone plays, this offense has actually looked its best with Brian Hoyer over these last three games. Taking away the red zone plays.
I heard him say that earlier.
But yeah, what'd you think of that one?
But it kind of did.
Look, Joe, I'm not gonna lie. I was sort of intrigued by the Brian Hoyer between the 20s go to Cam Newton in the red zone.
You guys see? Yeah, I mean, hey, it might work. Cam can't get there. So, I mean, get him to that point and see what happens.
I totally agree with that. But, you know, look, in general, I think the ship has sailed on Brian Hoyer.
Would they trade him? Is there value? Like, with the I'm ready to sell everybody. I mean, Dallas, who knows? You know,
like, I think there's some blocking sleds I saw on the backfield that might have some trade value there, Murray. You know, sure. Hey, look, anything's possible. I'm not. Sorry, I haven't talked to any NFL sources in the past week who are clamoring for Brian Hoyer. So I'm sorry that my intel isn't very good.
Danny in Norton, you're next here on the Shaw's Patriots post-game show with Greg Bedard. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, guys. Honestly, I mean, the way Cam Newton looked in the pocket tonight, he was helpless. You almost felt bad for the guy. But at the end of the day, it comes down to Bill Belichick unable to draft tight ends, wide receivers, and running backs.
His record speaks for himself, and it's a joke.
The drafts haven't been good, and you know who I want to ask you about? Because this just reminded me, because a guy that did look like he popped from one of the last few drafts was Chase Winovich, Greg, at least in the first few weeks of the season. But is he now in Belichick's doghouse the last couple of weeks?
Something's going on there.
Right?
Yeah. His role has gotten reduced. This was a game where the Patriots, actually the past two games, where the Patriots knew they had to stop the run to have a chance to be successful. And Winovich was not on the field. He was back to his role that he had his rookie year as sort of a situational sub-rusher. And so, yeah, I think that there is something going on there. I don't know whether he's in the doghouse or the more likely option is that they just think that they have better players to defend the run. And, you know, maybe that's another mistake because that's not really working well either.
So what do you think this week? Will they bounce back against Buffalo? I mean, typically this is where the Bills will do Bills things and lose, but I don't know. I thought that they would bounce back this week, Greg, and they got completely waxed by this Niners team, who I think is just kind of okay.
I agree with you. I just don't know. I'm back. These past 2 weeks have, just like a lot of Patriots fans out there, my confidence is shaken. Normally, I normally have a pretty good beat on this team. And right now, I do not, and I don't think the coaches do either. And I don't know what we're going to see. If I had to tell you right now, based off what we've seen, I mean, look, we're talking about a Patriots offense that has scored a grand total of 28 points in their last three games. That's a total. It's embarrassing. And that we're just going to say, oh, they're going to go up to Buffalo and suddenly put up that in one game to beat the Bills. I think is foolish, but, you know, I just don't know. I mean, because, again, I think it's there for them. I think that Sean McDermott is a guy that loses his mind when he sees Belichick on the other side of the other sideline. And I think Josh Allen is a turnover waiting to happen. He plays really good football for stretches, but then he just heaves balls up in the air or gets spun around and the ball's knocked loose. So anything can happen. I think, look, it's been a little bit unusual the past 2 weeks, and it's tough, and people don't really – this will be excuse-making, but playing teams that you don't normally play, the Broncos, the 49ers, that's tough if you're struggling. I think getting back into the division, a team that you know very well, both offensively and defensively, I think can only help this team get back on track. So I think this has a chance to be the right opponent at the right time.
All right, Greg, we'll talk to you Tuesday on Felgren Maz, your usual spot, Big Boy Tuesday at 2 o'clock, Felgren Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. And, of course, read more of his thoughts on this game of the Patriots at bostonsportsjournal.com. Talk to you Tuesday, Greg.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Greg.